I lose feelings as quick as I lose chapstick. I'm dead broke like a subway in Manhattan. I always said if this music ain't happening in 5 more years, then I will surely quit rapping. Well, I guess that life is a test. You only truly lose in life when you try your best. Cause to lose when you thought that you would lose from the start is better than to lose when you was winning in your heart. Huh. Or maybe life is a dream, cause everything that we wishing for don't be what it seems. They tell me, reach for the stars and you land on the moon, but that sound like rock bottom in the dirtiest dunes. So me, I keep it moving, ain't no stopping or looking back. I'm at my breaking point like entrances on cul-de-sacs. Mama's still drowning emotions in them liquor potions, so I take a sip, hocus pocus. My dad died last night, so I was sitting thinking, asking why last night.
Why?
And I'm trying not to take my life. Mama tell me I'll be alright. My friend died last night, so I ain't gonna look up in the sky all night.
No.
Cause I know I might lose my life. Mama tell me I'll be alright. My girl cried last night, cause she didn't see me step inside last night.
No.
Cause she know they tryna take my life. Mama tell me I'll be alright. I almost died last night, but that drive-by shooter closed his eyes too tight.
Bam.
Lord, why you tryna take my life? Mama tell me I'll be alright. Born a sinner, but I promised that I grew better. I fucked up, but my mama told me do better. Shit, but how the fuck you supposed to change me when I'm watching all your problems like it's HD? Huh, cause we ain't ate in a week, and I'm still getting cuffed for air walks on my feet. And I thought I had a shot at the girl in my dreams, but she laughed in my face cause the holes in my jeans. Huh, I guess we don't finish last, cause good guys don't win and we don't get the ass. Girls leave nice guys to get treated like...
Hello and welcome to another Daily Music Break podcast. The site can be found at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Visit for great music and free email newsletters. Today we have the pleasure of speaking with a young hip-hop artist by the name of Eric Smith, who performs under the name of Quest Soul. Hello, Eric, and thanks for taking time out to speak to us today.
Hey, no problem, Paul. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate you taking time out. To start with, Eric, can you tell people where to find and buy your music?
Currently, we have a website that we launched about 4 months ago. It's called QuestSoul.com. Again, that's QuestSoul.com. And you can find all of our media, all of our social networking, and all of our music through there.
Okay, terrific. I was kidding with you before that this is the first time I'm interviewing someone who's actually younger than one of my children. So it's a first for me. And I guess that just means that... It just means I'm getting old. I think that's the bottom line here. Could you, give us a little background on who you are, where you're from, you are 19 years old, how you got into hip hop. Can you give us the whole backstory, please?
Yeah. Well, I'm actually the second oldest out of 8. My mom is a single mom, and my cousins actually got me into hip hop. I'm from California. I lived in Los Angeles and Southern California basically my whole life, and really just being a part of that kind of culture, the city, there's hip-hop everywhere you go, especially where I lived. So I mean, I was down to get into it, but my cousins, they were big Tupac fans, especially being from LA, so that's all I heard growing up was Tupac. And also I pulled in a lot from my older cousins and my grandparents, because they listen to a lot of old jazz music, a lot of old classic R&B, Teddy Pendergrass, older artists. So, I mean, that being the influence for hip-hop, that really influenced me.
That's very interesting. It kind of pre-stages one of the questions that I prepared that, I'm going to ask you later, but that's kind of a foreshadowing. But mm-hmm. to start kind of at the beginning, and another thing that's different about this interview is usually I come to these interviews knowing more about the genre than I know about hip hop. I don't know much about it. Can you describe what the difference is between rap and hip hop? I'm a little unclear on that.
Well, it's all a perspective thing, but the generalized perspective of it is hip hop is more of the culture and rap is the brand, the activity, what you're doing when you're doing the music. Hip-hop is, in a sense, the same thing as rock and roll. It stands for the movement. It stands for the fight against being oppressed by your elders. The whole movement that happened in the 50s, 60s, and 70s of rock and roll, it was used by the outcasts or by the people who want to stick up for themselves. That's the same thing that hip-hop stands for. It's the voice of the people. It's more of the culture, and rap is the genre.
Okay, so they're not parallel, and one didn't evolve into the other. It's a the two are intertwined, which is...
Yes.
I didn't understand that, so that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping back and forth between the broader picture and you, as I said in an email this morning, in rock, you know, you have punk rock, you have classic rock, you have, you know, soft rock. Where does your particular style fit into the overall hip-hop rap spectrum?
Well, one thing that I like to say is I don't like to be categorized as a specific thing, because then that bubbles you into only doing that. I like to say that I'm more of an artist than just a rapper or a lyricist, because I do music as a hobby, not mm-hmm. only just as a job. So depending on how I feel, I'm going to do a different type of song. I'm not going to do 25 songs of the same type of song. I might do one where I'm singing. I might do one where I'm doing it on a rock beat, because I like rock music and I'm influenced as a producer by all types of music. Anything right. that's around me, I'm influenced by. So I try to do everything and anything I can as an artist. And so I like to say that my style kind of transcends just one genre, kind of like, I don't know if you're very hip on Drake, but Drake, he'll do a song that has very country influence to it, or very down south influence to it, which is not normal from what he started off doing. It's because he's more of a transcendent artist.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the themes in your lyrics, Eric?
Well, one thing that I pride myself heavy on is past and reflection through music, because I feel like my story is unique to me, as I'm the only person who has experienced it the way I've experienced it, and it goes for everybody else. So really what I do is, with my music, I just speak on what I see and what I know. So it's more of a lyricist storyteller type of thing, because I tell the world around me, not just the fancy glamour, oh, I want to have gold watches. Gold, I think that that's kind of irrelevant to the grand scheme of it, because it's not you as a person. That might be a portion of you, but it's not the entire you. And that's what I pride myself on. I give people insight into my past, my feelings that I'm going on, my day-to-day struggles, and that's what I put in my music.
Mm-hmm. Getting back, again, I'm jumping around between you and kind of the broader picture, which I guess is good. There's nothing wrong with it. Is when you talk about all these who are some of the non-hip-hop rap folks who are, you know, performers or artists who are particularly relevant to you and your music?
Non-hip-hop artists that molded me. I was very heavy into, like I said, the old soul movements. So like a Jimi Hendrix, Michael Jackson, just his stage presence and his ability to move people. James Brown, I was very heavy into. Outside of that, Gil Scott Heron, he's a very big civil rights singer. Jazz music, I mean, not really too much jazz music as an artist standpoint, but the sounds of jazz music heavily influenced me. The time period, what jazz music stood for to the black community and the black culture as a whole, really heavily influenced me. And honestly, even like a J-Lo, in the sense of her story and what she did with her music, she's one of the highest international selling artists of all time. And that's just inspiration to anybody, honestly.
Right. Is the influence, I don't know exactly how to ask this question, but are the outside influences on rap and hip hop from other types of music, are they more now than when this genre of music was younger? Are they more reaching back into jazz? Because the little I know about it, it seems to be that there's more jazz influences and other types of influences in this type of music now than maybe 10 or 15 years ago. Is there anything to that, or is it just kind of a misconception that I have?
No, actually, you're very right, because, this might be a long spill, but just talking to a producer friend of mine about this, when music 30 years ago, whether hip-hop, rock and roll, whatever it was, you can almost marginalize it to a specific area. That's where they get the connotations of, this is a Midwest sound, this is a New York sound.
Right.
Because of there was no big internet stream to where people can contact and hear things outside of where they were. So with that being said, where you were from was how you lived, and in turn, what you sang or rapped about.
Right.
So now with the big internet movement, everyone's connected. We can meet over the internet and never have met in person and have a mutual friendship. Now there's artists who have access to information that they never had access to before, so they can be influenced by things outside of them. Before, a little black kid in New York had no access to country music because no one around him had access to country music. So he wasn't going to get influenced by it. Now with the big stream of internet, I can hear and see a YouTube song from a country artist that's huge that I might like, and I would have never been able to hear him 30 years ago. Now that influences my sound. And that's why now more it's bigger than it was before.
That's really interesting. So it's almost like the democratization of the art because of the electronics. And I guess a lot of the hip-hop rap people are younger people, so they might be more at ease with the electronics and grabbing stuff and sampling music and things of that nature.
Exactly. And a side note, to go back into that question, it's not even just the hip-hop scene that's pulling in the other genres. Other genres such as rock and country are pulling in rap music. Like, I'm not sure if you're hip on Miley Cyrus's music, but she is a country artist who uses very heavy, this is a producer's terms, of 808s and kicks and drum sounds that are completely hip-hop, but she sings with the country tone, which is country music. Same thing with Taylor Swift. They're country artists who use heavy, heavy impact from the hip-hop scene, and they integrate it into their country music. And that's a reverse, I'll say, of the hip-hop artists pulling from those genres. It's happening throughout all genres.
It's very interesting. I guess it, in a way, what popped into my mind is that I am aware that Run DMC and Aerosmith had kind of talked way back in the day.
Exactly, yeah. That crossover kind of opened up the bridge and the gate for everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. Getting back to you for a second, what do you do mostly? Do you record? Do you perform? Do you produce? And I have a question about that. But what's the thing that you focus most on these days?
Well, as of right now, I'm self-producing and recording my debut album and mixtape at the time. So right now, the biggest thing is the album. So that's really what I'm doing right now. I'm not performing. I did a couple stints DJing for other artists, but I've never toured off my own music, or I've never performed off my own music as of to this time, because I started off as a producer first. So,
It seems to me, in just reading in general, kind of orient myself a little bit for the interview, that there seems to be more of a, and I might be wrong about this, but the sense I got is there's more of a crossover between artists and producers in hip hop than perhaps in some other forms of music, some other genres. Is that true? Do you guys go, back and forth between the producer artist thing more often? Is it more fluid?
Well, that's a two-part answer, and I'll tell you why. Because on paper, yes, there is a big and huge number of artists/producers. Now, with that being said, and this is not to hype myself up or hype anyone who is in this bubble, the stance of people that are actually efficient at both is 1%, 2% at the most. And that's why it's such a hard thing to actually be a top tier both, because there's only three or four that are doing it in the upper echelon right now, and that's Pharrell, Kanye West, J. Cole, and Timbaland. And Timbaland isn't doing it as much now because he's focusing solely on producing. But there's only 4 to 8 big producers that are also artists. And that's out of the, let's say, 200 mainstream artists that are out right now. So it's not that big of a constituent once you get to the wheel everybody out who's not going to make it in the business. And that's the sad part of it. But the people who are on the lower levels, such as myself, they have, and this goes back to the internet push that we were talking about just a minute ago, the DIY or do-it-yourself impersonation of today's genre, where they think that because it's accessible to them, that they should do it themselves instead of paying somebody who learned it already. And that's what that is. Most of the ones who are producers and rappers, and they will attest to this, are not efficient at both, or are mildly efficient at both of them, but not good at either of them.
So it's a different skill set is what I hear you saying.
And it's hard to balance the two unless you really have a knack for it, or you really took the time to master both of them.
Eric, who do you consider to be your core audience when you you know, have a song, when you write a song and record a song and put it out there? Who do you think is the people who are listening to it? Who are you speaking to?
Well, funny, I just got asked this and answered this by a fan, actually. Two people asked the question, and another one answered it for me before I even had the chance. My core audience that I'm really talking to is not essentially the ones who were in the environment that I'm speaking of, but more so the ones who were outward of the environment I'm speaking of, the ones who haven't experienced what I'm talking about. Because, yes, I'm the voice of the people who are going through what I went through and who can benefit off of what I'm talking about, the struggles of being in poverty level, the struggles of having constituents of racism pushed on you, but it's also for the ones who haven't seen it, the people who have lived in privilege, the people who don't understand the ones who live in poverty because they have nothing to go off of besides hearsay. So what I was saying was a female of Caucasian descent told me she listened to my music and got a completely different viewpoint on the guy who she looked at and said was an ignorant black person 2 weeks ago. And she sees why they live the way they live and the things they do after.
Eric, you're fading out a little bit.
Okay, yeah, I was saying that she said that she gained a new perspective on someone who she saw as an ignorant person on the street before because she understood the complexity of the situation now further because of listening to a song that I have called Made in America, where I talk about how there are things that are kind of serving as blocks for certain people in poverty levels to make a way out for themselves, to better themselves because of the things that are constantly around them and put around them.
Very, very interesting. So your core audience, so you're trying to explain, you know, to reiterate, explain what you've gone through from your perspective and get other people, I guess black and white, who haven't been in your environment to understand. Very, very interesting. Do you, you know, the next fits nicely with the next question I have on my list here, which is clearly hip hop has its share of controversy. Do you feel it has been misunderstood by some people?
Yeah, I essentially do because hip hop, more than all other genres, is a competition. And I say that because of the fact of how it started. Hip hop started basically as a freestyle movement, which with a level of competition for each person, I'm going to hype myself up to the me and you. And that's really how it started.
Right.
And so evolving through that, everyone has their end goal. Everyone wants to make it themselves. And that's going to involve crushing somebody else. But because of, this is the biggest part of it, because of the environment that they come from, the third world in America that they come from, which really is what it is when you're in the poverty level, black, white, Mexican, whatever the race is, the poverty level really is a third world environment. And so that kill or be killed mentality also relates into their music. Mm-hmm. And when somebody takes a jab at your music, they're taking a jab at your livelihood, which will cause you to protect your livelihood in the only way you know how to. And that's why a lot of people go the routes they do. And they also generalize that one person's actions and put it on the entire movement. Everybody in hip hop isn't a fighter and isn't a killer and isn't a gangster. I have never gangbanged in my life, but because I rap, I'm going to be associated with the connotation of gangbanger or with the connotation of I'm a killer of some sort. And that's just the sad reality of it, because they don't know the music and they don't listen to the lyrics.
Well, it's fascinating, because let's put a couple of pieces together here. What you just said, that you get associated with things that aren't you because of the fact that you're rapping, but also put that together with what you said a few minutes ago about how the internet has allowed things to move back and forth across society more freely. So it really is a recipe for misunderstanding, because if someone puts out a rap or a hip hop song where they're playing that role of being this vicious person, that gets on the internet and, you know, everybody is seeing it. It sounds like it's a real recipe for misunderstanding, is I guess what I'm saying.
It is. It truly is, because when you look at four people who represent a multitude of people, it's easy to take those four people's views and push them on the entire group. And there are artists, and I criticize them amongst myself and my peers all the time, who give this persona of what they truly aren't in order to get a buzz or in order to get a certain fan base, because they know that fan base is open for grabs. And I don't agree with that, or that notion of fake it till you make it, or pretend to be who you're not, because then you're just selling a lie. And what reason do you have to do that besides making money, which is not always the motive?
It's funny, because I was thinking about this when I think about rap and hip hop. You know, it seems that some of the artists, to me, and it sounds like what you're saying, kind of want to create the image of being the outlaw. And then I think of movies, you know, and Clint Eastwood didn't go to the Oscars on a horse and with a six shooter, even though he was in Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like everything has, it's kind of like it's different, you know, that they're cultivating, as you say, an image of something they're not for whatever personal reasons they have. You know, it's all very confusing, really.
Yeah, it honestly is. Even being a part of the culture is confusing. It's baffling, because music is meant to represent who you are. So when you start to represent something you're not, it's what is the point of you doing music?
Right.
There is no point. You're doing it as a job and not as a love, which is what you're not supposed to do. You play sports to, yes, have a living, but you also play sports because you loved sports since you were a child. You don't play a sport just purely to get money.
Right. And if you, you know, happen to have the skills, if you happen to be Derek Jeter, you end up making a lot of money, but that's, not how it started out.
Exactly.
It's funny, and I got to bring this up, which is one of the reasons I really was eager to do this interview.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very odd thing for me that a word that's in your songs and a word that's in a lot of rap and hip hop songs is a word that I can't use. You know, it's basically off limits. I could use it, but you know, it's an ugly word I hate, you know? So it's, you know, it's all with this idea of the confusion of hip hop and the broader society and how it's spread by the internet and who the audience is. You know, it's just it just seems like a very, very confused kind of thing. And it's, I guess, conversations like this are a good way to straighten some of it out. You know, I hope people hear it.
Yeah.
Eric, you faded out again, Eric.
As far as the N-word goes, mm-hmm. I have a different perspective on it because of possibly me being educated differently than some of my peers.
Okay.
I understand the full complexity of the word. I understand the origin of the word. And mm-hmm. I also understand, just like thousands of words in the English language that were derived from Latin terms that don't mean what they meant in Latin in English, such as dude, freak. There's so many words that don't mean what they meant 100 years ago. The same word goes for the N-word, especially when it is used with the suffix with G-A instead of G-E-R. It has a completely different term, and the Black culture of today has integrated it in as a word that meant friend, brother. Now, I understand your point as well of you can't use it. But see, right. That's where some of my peers and me disagree. If I hear a white person use it in the same manner I use it in, I have completely no problem in it because I use it. Therefore, I give them the right to use it. I understand that if somebody calls their friend a punk, I can call them a punk too because you gave me the right to do it when you did it. So now at that same time, I understand that it's a very uncomfortable term, but I also understand that that is a result of societal ignorance. Not to say that anybody's ignorant, but the fact of situation, understanding that it's making you uncomfortable because of the pretense of it, what happened in the past with it. And there are certain people who, like I said, my peers, who would attack you, therefore, for using it the way that they use it. But that's also because they're ignorant to what they're doing. And that is something that I always preach. You can't use a term and expect somebody else not to use it. And if you're using it in good spirit, there's nothing wrong with using it. Now, to shed light back onto my audience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I use the word, and I'm glad you brought it up that it was used in my songs. I use the word in the song Lose My Life, but I also use it in that song relaying the hindrance of my culture.
What do you mean?
My culture that I come from, the poverty level, the lower level of society, the term, the N-word, isn't just a term, it's also a reliance of what happens there daily. And I'm liable to lose my life any day. There's somebody who's trying to turn me into the word, and by that I mean ignorant person, which is what the word comes from, is ignorant person. That's what it was derived from. Then they turned it into being protected, as we know, the whole storyline of it. But they're trying to turn everyone around them into an ignorant person because they are ignorant people. And there's drugs all around you. They're trying to turn you into an ignorant person by making you use drugs. There's killing and death all around you. They're trying to turn you into an ignorant person by putting you in a predicament to where you are jeopardizing your life. There's all these things around me. And in that song, I use that word to show what they're trying to turn me into, not what I am.
So instead of that word being kind of, you know, like an edifice or something that's just thrown in there because, you know, for the music or for whatever, what I hear you saying is that word, the reaction to it within your community, the reaction to it outside your community as you try to communicate with people outside your community is central. It's very important. However, it's figured out finally.
Yes, because I always say this, it's a crazy scenario that goes on in that area, especially amongst the Black community, because mm-hmm. if you talk with any type of poise, they don't view you as an equal. They say terms like you're whitewashed, you're a Carlton, which a Carlton is a reference to Carlton for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which I'm not sure if you're hip on, but he was,
Watch many episodes.
The nerdy one. Exactly. So, yeah, so you know what I'm talking about, then. He's not the typical or stereotypical black person. He's educated. Right. He has his communication skills. His vernacular is intact. So they call him whitewash, wishy-washy. And I went through that a lot because my parents and grandparents educated me. So I was looked at as, okay, I'm not a N-word. I am whitewashed. I'm a sellout. And those things, all I'm talking about in the song Lose My Life, they're trying to turn me into a N-word in their view of it, which is an ignorant person.
Mm-hmm. It's very complicated.
It is. And that's why I try to shed light on it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that you've done that and you've taken time out. Eric, I think we could go on talking for quite some time on this issue, and maybe we could do it again and other issues, your music. You know, when it comes back to this, comes back to the music eventually, right? The music has to be good. In summing up, could you again please tell the folks where they can hear some of your music and download it and buy it? Are you still there, Eric?
Hello, you can hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Anybody looking to hear my music or download my music can go to my website, www.questsoultnt.com or SoundCloud/QuestSoul.com.
Okay, that's fabulous. I'd like to thank you again very, very much for taking time. It's been very, very – I was looking forward to this all week.
Thank you for having me.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Absolutely lived up to the expectations I had. It's been a very, very interesting exchange, and I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. Hope to be back soon.
Okay, absolutely. So this is Carl Weinschenk at – The Daily Music Break, www.dailymusicbreak.com. Please check out the site for a lot of good music and free email newsletters. Thank you very much and take care. She didn't see me step inside last night. No. Cause she know they trying to take my life. Mama tell me I'll be alright. I almost died last night, but that drive-by shooter closed his eyes too tight. Bam. Lord, why you tryna take my life? Mama tell me I'll be alright. My dad died last night. So I was sitting thinking that's goodbye last night. Why?